brother. What's up?
This is a new big party, it, man. Yeah, brother, I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Englund Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Another day in paradise, Earl. You're at the show.
Yeah, you know, I want to welcome a very special guest. The Attorney General of the State of Wisconsin and the Department of Justice, none other than Mr. Josh Call. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, it is so good to have you back. It's been a long time. We've got a lot to talk about. I want to begin with guns and what the excitement that we are hearing about guns and the adjustments that the federal government, Congress, Senate are talking about. What is your take, sir, on the easy accessibility to guns?
Well, I think we need to make changes to our laws that make sure that when people are a danger to themselves or others, that our laws are preventing them from accessing firearms. You know, there are people, for example, who have committed of violent felonies. There are people who have family members who know that they present a danger. And making sure that our laws are protecting public safety here is really key from my perspective. So, you know, I would like to see some common sense things like expanding background checks to make sure that they apply to all firearm purchases, having the opportunity for judges to issue extreme risk protection orders if a family member or law enforcement provides evidence showing that somebody is a danger to themselves or others. But it's really good to see movement at the federal level on this. You know, it's not going to be everything that everybody's hoping for. It's certainly not doing everything I would like to see. But we've also seen gridlock on this issue for decades, really, and seeing Congress finally coming together in a bipartisan fashion to act, I think, is really encouraging.
You know, I live in the city of Milwaukee, and it is one thing to see this happen. We don't know exactly what it's going to be right now, but some movement, some action. And yes, it is horrible whenever there is mass murder, no question whatsoever. But when you live in a city, urban city like I do, and you watch just hundreds of people being slaughtered on the streets, you know, every year, and with handguns, and we don't hear any pushback on that. You know, we know that ghost guns are prevalent in our society. We know that people can purchase these things, and it's legal. Those things don't make sense to me, Attorney General Call. How come that can happen in our society and we can't prevent that?
Yeah, well, first, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense. And I think Mayor Johnson used the phrase, it's a slow motion mass murder. And whether it is a mass shooting or a series of, you know, individual shootings, we've got to take action to make our communities safer. And as you said, we've got some real loopholes right now. If you're going to a federally licensed firearms dealer and you go to buy a gun and you're a convicted felon, there's a background check that's conducted and you'd be rejected from buying that firearm. But if you buy it from a private seller online, the background check doesn't happen. And so people who are not legally permitted to possess firearms can do that. Ghost guns is another good example where, you know, there's no background check process. Now that is changing for the better because the ATF has issued some rules, but under state law, we still haven't taken action. You know, the other thing that I think is really important here, in addition to working to pass common sense gun safety measures is investing in our communities. For decades, really, our state legislature has chosen not to invest in communities across the state of Wisconsin. And that's having real impacts, and it's had impacts for a while. We need to keep pressure on our legislature to act. It's really tough because we've got this gerrymandered legislature. But the more that we can keep contacting folks, the more likely it is we're going to see something happen. And we're starting to see that now in the U.S. Senate. You know, this isn't just happening. It's happening because people are speaking up and they're demanding that their senators take action.
Attorney Call, it's when you look at the sheer numbers in this nation, the majority of the people don't own guns. Even though there is a Second Amendment right to own guns, the majority of us don't own them. We're not opposed to people owning them, but why is it that in this instance, the minority seems to have so much power that they control what the majority doesn't want to see happen?
You know, Earl, I don't know what the exact statistics are. There are a lot of people in the United States who are gun owners. And as you said, that's something that not only do I respect, but we have a constitutionally protected right that protects the Second Amendment. And what I think is so interesting is gun owners overwhelmingly support some of these common sense measures. So it's not about gun owners versus non-gun owners, really. It's about this very extreme group that, you know, the NRA and the gun lobby that is pushing back against some common sense measures. And just as an example, we conduct at the Wisconsin Department of Justice numerous background checks when firearms are purchased. And that doesn't infringe on anybody's Second Amendment rights. And yet we haven't been able to expand background checks because the gun lobby is pushing back against that and Republican legislators refuse to act. So, you know, ultimately, we've got to keep pressure on those legislators to take action.
You know, and then we'll move on. But I have to say, because I am aware that the gun show loophole that everybody talks about, where, you know, when you're going to buy this new gun from a licensed dealer, the background checks and the waiting period and all those things have to happen. But then after I do that, and I own the gun, I can take it and sell it to anybody without any background checks. And that is how so many guns get into the hands of children in central cities across this nation. And so it can't be acceptable that the NRA and you know, the lobbyists should somehow have more power than life and death in communities in this country. And that's at the root of most of these issues.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we've got to have leaders who are willing to stand up to special interest groups, whether it's the NRA or anybody else. You know, back in November, I announced a plan called Safer Wisconsin, and it lays out a number of proposed changes. And that includes common sense gun safety measures, like addressing ghost guns and expanding background checks. And it also includes some significant proposed investments in public safety so that we can work to address the challenges that communities are facing. But again, what we need is for people to be engaged, to contact their legislators, and to say that, you know, enough is enough. We're not going to let the gun lobby prevent action on these issues anymore.
All right. Let's move to abortion. And right now, there is a fear, and rightfully so, that the abortion bans, that abortion is going to become a thing of the past. What are you thinking? What is your take?
Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a case where the state of Mississippi has asked for the court to overturn Roe versus Wade, and all indications are that that's exactly what's going to happen. That, you know, as you know, there was a draft decision that was leaked that would overturn Roe, and the Supreme Court has indicated that's a real opinion. It is what people said it was, and certainly based on the way that the argument went and what we know about the current composition of the Supreme Court, I think that is likely going to be what we ultimately see, which is Roe is overturned. And if that happens, a federal constitutional protection that has been in place for two generations is going to go away. And then the debate will go from the courts to Congress, which doesn't seem to be able to act on this issue. That there's been legislation considered, but it hasn't been passed. And then to the states. Now, here in Wisconsin, we have a law in the books that goes back to the 19th century that bans most abortions, provides criminal penalties with some very narrow exceptions. There's an exception to save the life of the mother, and then under the ban, the mother can't be prosecuted. And if you think about what that means, other than abortions to save the life of the mother, the only abortions that would be legal in Wisconsin would be self-administered abortions. That is dangerous. It's backwards. Now, whether that law would go into effect if Roe is overturned is going to be, I think, the subject of significant litigation. There are arguments to be made that ban shouldn't spring back into place. But while that litigation is happening, access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin is going to disappear. And it could be that the courts find that ban applies. And if it does, women in Wisconsin are going to be facing a very different landscape for reproductive freedom than we're used to for the last almost 50 years. And I really want to stress that what we know from prior to Roe is that making abortion illegal doesn't end abortion. What it does is it ends safe abortion. And so if this happens, the health of women in Wisconsin is going to be endangered. And it's very likely that unfortunately women are going to lose their lives because of this ban. So I'm hopeful our legislature will take action. We'll see what happens in the courts, but it's a dangerous time for reproductive freedom.
You know, Attorney General Call, what is so frustrating to me is to hear people on the right, including some Supreme Court justices, say 50 years ago, the justices made a mistake, and just totally wiping out their thought processes back then and why they thought women should have freedom in this nation over their own bodies. But to say now we have the right answer and so we don't care what the justices said 50 years ago, they were wrong, we're right. How does that sit with you?
You know, I strongly disagree with the possibility that Roe would be overturned. And I think, you know, the point you're getting at is that we need to make sure that whether it's judges or justices or anybody else in the system is making decisions, we've got to have some humility about what we're looking at here. I mean, in this case, we've got, again, almost 50 years of precedent that many Supreme Court justices have, you know, involving a right that many Supreme Court justices have found. All of a sudden, overturning that precedent is a huge, huge change, and it's something that courts should be very thoughtful about before moving forward with. And it's also going to put us in a position where all of a sudden we're being put back into we're having laws put back in place from decades ago. You know, we haven't had legislative debate on the issue of access to safe and legal abortion over the last 50 years in the way that we would have if Roe hadn't been there. And so this is a significant change for our society that we may be heading towards, not because the voters have chosen that, but because of the decisions of a few people. Now, the governor called the special session to repeal the old 19th century abortion ban. And I think that Republican legislators owe it to the people of Wisconsin, you know, to step up and to debate this issue and to be clear about where they stand on this. If we're going to have this kind of major change in society, our legislators owe it to Wisconsinites to be clear about where they stand, to debate the issues, and to make sure that the public has some input.
You know, what bothers me the most is those on the right who want to pick and choose what freedoms are. They constantly talk about, you know, nobody infringing upon our rights when it comes to wearing masks and their children wearing masks during an epidemic. But in something as critically serious as whether or not a woman has freedom over her own body, now it's they want the government to step in. I mean, which is it?
You know, freedom really is a major issue that is at stake right now. Our freedoms are at risk, but it is not because of common sense measures to keep people safe from a pandemic that are limited in time and that were responsive to the science. It's because of a few critical issues. One of them is freedom to make decisions that are fundamental to who you are as a person, to what your future is going to be. And that includes the decision to whether to have a safe and legal abortion. It also goes to our freedom to vote. You know, there have been efforts to overturn the results of Democratic elections. I mean, that's about our freedom to determine who's making decisions and, you know, to support particular policy changes. And we've seen efforts to undermine that by limiting access to voting, but also by attempting to overturn the results, as we saw following the 2020 elections. And so, you know, there are significant issues out there that are going to impact our freedoms. But the ones that are going to make a huge difference for our lives and for society are ones like the freedom to access safe and legal abortion and the freedom to vote.
You know, you brought up the voting portion of this, and I was definitely going to go there. Now that we're there, you just watch as an American citizen has been around now for 7 decades. You know, you just watch what is taking place in the Voting Rights Act and in all of the past history that has made the nation and made adjustments to the injustice that occurred for many decades in this country, century or more in this country, and to now see that all of those things are being cast asunder with no proof whatsoever all over the nation. So how do we fix this, Attorney General Call? I mean, there are people who are losing faith in the system. You hear people arguing that they believe that their votes didn't count. There's no proof to back any of that up, but just based on their beliefs, they're willing to take away the rights of people based on what they feel. Nobody can prove anything, but we're reacting to what some people feel.
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of start with where we are. And I think this is an important point for people to remember. We have the greatest democracy in the world, and the results of our elections are not rigged. This is not a place like Russia or Iran where the results are preordained. The results reflect the will of the voters. And in Wisconsin in particular, we know that because they have been reviewed over and over and over again. And so following the 2016 presidential election, there was a statewide recount, and it showed that the results were accurate. Following the 2020 election, there were recounts in Milwaukee and Dane County. The results were accurate. There were also several legal challenges brought that upheld the results of the election. There was an audit conducted by the Legislative Audit Bureau that, again, confirmed that the results were accurate. So our votes do count. The results we have are accurate. And, you know, look, if you look at the history in Wisconsin, and in 2016, it was very close. Donald Trump won that election in Wisconsin. In 2020, it was very close, and Joe Biden won that election. And so any suggestion that our results are anything but accurate is just not correct. Now, what we have seen is attacks on access to voting. And as you mentioned, the Voting Rights Act has been gutted. There have been attempts to roll back access to voting in Wisconsin and other states. And again, there were these efforts to overturn the results of the election. So far, those efforts have largely failed. We, you know, the governor has vetoed a number of bills that would have restricted access. My administration defended against those efforts to overturn the results in court, and we succeeded. And ultimately, the will of the voters prevailed in the 2020 election. But we also need to take action to make sure that those kinds of efforts are not successful in the future. The most important thing that we can do, I think, would be to pass the Freedom to Vote Act in Congress, the The Senate has not moved forward with that. They've let the filibuster stand in the way of passing that legislation. I certainly hope they will reconsider that, ideally this year, but if not, in future sessions. And then we need to keep making sure, you know, when certainly I'm committed to doing this with our Department of Justice, that our leaders are defending the will of the voters.
You know, Attorney General Call, the will of the voters, there are two sides in this. There's a side that is right, that have done all the right things, and the other side that is attempting to overthrow that. And we continue to deal with this with Mike Gableman and Robin Voss and people of that ilk who continue to waste time and money again to prove something that they can't ever prove, and to get many others who are not willing to accept the outcome. As we head into the midterms and in a short period of time, a brand new election for president in 2024, there are a lot of us who aren't comfortable. We're not comfortable in believing that this is going to be straightened out by then. And again, the fact that people who don't want to believe the forest for the trees, who don't believe all of these allegations that have been disproved, and continue to push and waste money that could be used to address other issues, we can't stop that. There's no way any of that stuff can be checked.
The short answer is it sort of depends on the context. And so the first thing to note is you probably remember back in 2018, after Governor Evers won and I won, the Republicans rushed into special session.
That's correct.
And passed the bill. Power. That's right. That's exactly right. And one of the things they did in that bill that didn't get as much attention at the time is they gave themselves the unlimited ability in the legislature to spend money on attorneys. And because that is the law, Robin Voss, unfortunately, can spend as much money and waste as much taxpayer money on this Gableman litigation the Gableman investigation as he wants to. Because of that lame duck session, they do have that authority. What they can't do is go beyond the power that the legislature has to conduct an investigation. And one of the things that they've done here is Mike Gableman has demanded that not only the depositions happen, but that they happen in private. So private interviews of election officials and other government employees. And my administration has gone to court to challenge that. We have said that that's not consistent with the power they have. And if these depositions happen, they've got to happen in public so that the public can hear from these election officials directly. That's being litigated in court right now. And so the Gableman investigation is stalled currently while that plays out. But as you said, this is a total waste of taxpayer money. And we need the assembly to finally end this. We have wasted a huge amount of taxpayer money so far, and continuing to waste that money is not in the interest of taxpayers. It's not in the interest of democracy.
So, Attorney General Call, can I get you to hang on a second? We've got to go to a break on the air. Attorney General Josh Call, 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Josh Call, the Attorney General of the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And you know, sir, before we went to break, you mentioned Michael Gableman. And so Michael Gableman is being held in contempt of court for refusing, and to be quite frank with you, grandstanding. This guy's a former state Supreme Court justice, but he acts like, you know, he's public theater. So what does that mean? What can they really do to the former Supreme Court justice, state Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, well, to begin with, this this whole so-called investigation that he's conducting has been an absolute and total embarrassment. It is a waste of taxpayer dollars. It needs to end. Now, frankly, he has treated our democracy with contempt. He has treated the taxpayers with contempt, and he's brought that same attitude into court. And when somebody is held in contempt, what the sanctions are depends a little bit on exactly what kind of contempt is being found. But one of the things that can happen is the judge can order that somebody goes to jail until they address the cause of the contempt.
That's not likely.
Well, it is unlikely, but it's not impossible. And it's the kind of situation where usually what you see from judges is an escalation in the kinds of consequences. First, they order somebody to produce documents, for example. Then if they don't, then they might hold them in contempt. There could be fines. And ultimately there could be jail. What I think you're more likely to see, though, are fines, where the court may impose a fine either on Gableman himself or on the legislature, which is overseeing this. And, you know, that hopefully will cause them to finally comply with the court's orders. But we'll see. I mean, the refusal to testify in court, which he had in his statements that have been released to the press, where he's attacking the judge, is really way over the line. And I'm hopeful that we'll see a clear response here from the court.
Let's talk about some cases you are working on now that we really should be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're involved in a number of different investigations and prosecutions. We investigate and prosecute some of the most significant cases in the state, some of the most serious offenses in the state, everything from homicides to sexual assaults to robberies to internet crimes against children. But we also bring enforcement actions when our laws are violated. And so one that we brought not too long ago was an action against Johnson Controls, based on their alleged failure to remedy PFAS pollution in the Marinette area. We also brought an enforcement action against Barada Properties, as well as the owner of that company, who's a major landlord in the Milwaukee area, alleging that he had violated a number of landlord-tenant laws. But those are a few of many examples. We also are working to bring dollars into the state from opioid manufacturers and distributors who benefited from the opioid epidemic. And because of the work of our office and other AGs and also county and local governments, the state of Wisconsin has secured over $400 million to help fight the opioid epidemic. So those are just a few examples, but certainly happy to talk about any specific ones.
Let's talk about the opioid and what happens to the resources that, you know, come in behind you. The case has been won, right?
Yeah, so we have, there are a bunch of different things going on. We filed suit against Purdue Pharma. We joined investigations into opioid distributors. What we've done is reached a settlement with three opioid distributors, the companies that send opioids around the country to pharmacies, as well as an opioid manufacturer. And that case has been settled. There will be about $400 million come to Wisconsin, where there are other actions that are going on too that could bring more money here. Now, what's happening with these dollars is, if you go way back to the tobacco settlement from decades ago, there was a lot of money recovered there, but a lot of it didn't actually go to addressing the health harms from smoking. They went to fill potholes and to do other kinds of things that government wanted. Here, we want to make sure the money is going to address the opioid epidemic. And so there are a lot of different types of uses that county governments and local governments and state governments can put this money towards, but they all need to be uses that help fight the opioid
epidemic. Right, and those things out of your purview. You don't have control over what happens with the dollars once they come in, right?
That's right. Our role is to make sure we are holding the companies that contributed to this epidemic accountable. The money then is going to be going, 30% will go to the State Department of Health Services. And the other 70% will go to county and local governments in Wisconsin. And Department of Health Services and county and local governments will be making decisions about how to spend those resources.
Let's talk about the reelection campaign and these last 4 years, or, you know, soon to be 4 years. Let's talk a little bit about your time there and your plans in the campaign.
Well, one of the things I'm really proud of at the Wisconsin Department of Justice is that we have, despite the obstructionism in the legislature, despite the pandemic, we have delivered for Wisconsinites. You know, one of my issues I talked about in the 2018 campaign was the lawsuit that was seeking to end the Affordable Care Act. We withdrew from that suit. We joined a brief in support of the ACA. We've also done a lot of work to strengthen Wisconsin's response to sexual assault. We recently announced the launch of a kit tracking system that will allow survivors to figure out exactly where their sexual assault kit is in the process. I fought to get legislation passed that's going to put in place timelines that will help prevent a future backlog. We've strengthened our enforcement of environmental laws in Wisconsin. We've been working to hold Big Pharma accountable for its role in the opioid epidemic. We've also worked to protect democracy and are in the process of working to protect reproductive freedom. And so on issue after issue, we've been getting results for the people of Wisconsin. And I think it's critical that we continue to have a Department of Justice that's going to do that.
Let's talk about your reelection campaign and how that's going.
Well, you know, there's going to be a very clear contrast for the voters in this election. You know, I'm proud of my record. I'm happy to be talking about it. There are three Republicans running. Their views on the issues are very different from mine. And so we're going to have a very clear debate for voters. There's been a lot of efforts from Republicans to play into the big lie. As you know, I've been very clear that it is a lie. There have also been, the Republicans are clear that they would use the resources of the Wisconsin Department of Justice to enforce Wisconsin's 19th century abortion ban if it goes into effect. And if you think about what that means for a minute, we've got a statewide investigative agency. Having those investigators, instead of investigating homicides or arsons or other serious crimes, investigating abortions, having prosecutors at the State Department of Justice using their resources to prosecute abortions, to me, that is not only an infringement on reproductive freedom, but it's a massive misuse of government resources. So there's going to be a clear contrast. You know, we've got a little bit less than 5 months until Election Day. So you know, ultimately, we're going to I'm going to keep working hard, and we'll see what happens on Election Day.
You know, your record stands for itself. It's a couple of the candidates for on the Republican side, you know, when I hear them and what they're standing for, it certainly appears. Well, I shouldn't say a couple, all three. Is at the root of all of it is, hey, we're Republicans, we're conservatives, and we're going to do it the way that Republicans and conservatives want it done. I mean, that's at the root of what they are talking about. And so when those of us who reside in the state and want to see crimes, you know, talk about crimes, local crimes, and for people to point the finger and say, well, you know, Josh Call and the governor, they're not concerned at all about crime in the cities. That's not the truth. And so when I hear the people on the right who are running for your seat, they're more concerned about talking about, well, we're going to do something about the crime in the cities, but there are issues going on with corporations, poisoning of the people of this state, and theft, and all of those things that people have to address, and to act as though that doesn't have any bearing on who the attorney general should be. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, well, first, you know, the truth is that back in November, I put out a comprehensive public safety plan, Safer Wisconsin, that would help reduce crime across the state. And unfortunately, Republicans in the legislature have not held a hearing on that plan. But I have been a consistent advocate for common sense gun safety measures and for investment in public safety to make our communities safer. But you're also right that the job of Attorney General also includes making sure that we are holding big polluters accountable and holding accountable big pharmaceutical companies that contributed to the opioid epidemic, and protecting the rights of and freedoms of Wisconsinites, like reproductive freedom and our freedom to vote. Those are all parts of the job. And what I think is critical that you were just talking about is the Attorney General is not the Attorney General for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Right.
They're not the Attorney General for Republicans in Wisconsin. It's the Attorney General for all Wisconsinites. And it is so critical that our chief law enforcement officer in Wisconsin is enforcing the laws for all Wisconsinites. We have equal justice under the law, and having your state's top cop picking and choosing based on partisanship is incredibly dangerous and inconsistent with the rule of law. I'm proud to have stood up for all Wisconsinites. I'm going to keep doing that as Attorney General.
Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you taking this time out of your busy schedule. Look forward to having you back on as we move forward with the election. Talk to you later.
Thanks for having me on the show, Earl.
All right. Bye-bye. Got to go. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I just wanted to make an announcement. We are going to be going to the January 6th hearings at 9 o'clock. We will cover those live whenever they are in action. And so for the starting at 9 o'clock this morning, we will certainly bring live to you the coverage of what is taking place. And in between the breaks, I'll have commentary. Phone lines are always open as always. And, you know, I'll tell you, I saw the first hearing, and I found out over 20 million people tuned in, which was twice the amount of people who watched the NBA championship games. Republicans thought that there would not be much interest in those hearings, but clearly they were wrong. And so these investigations are important. The American people can't be snookered by those on the right and Fox News that said much ado about nothing. So looking forward to in the next few minutes going live to those hearings. You know, I'm more than a little frustrated because the question becomes whether or not Donald Trump was involved in this, if Donald Trump was aware of what was taking place. And hey, everybody knows that, you know, the dead even knows that Donald Trump was engaged in this and helped orchestrate this. And yet, you know, in the face of all of it, I'm cynical. You know, I don't know if the chances of Donald Trump paying the ultimate price for what he orchestrated is going to keep him from running for re-election. He should be in jail. There's no question whatsoever that Donald Trump was at the root of the sedition attempt that happened on January 6th. You know, I saw more video than I had seen before and heard some things that certainly should anger and frustrate every American. But yet, at the end of the road for this, what we are hoping is that Donald Trump pays the ultimate price and not only is not allowed to run for president again, but he's locked up and the key is thrown away because that's what he's the ultimate price that he should pay for the crimes that he committed. And, you know, we live in a society that is going to give him every opportunity to get away with this. And you're hearing people on the right constantly barking about, well, there are all these other things going on that people are concerned about. And listen, I agree that there are people concerned about the price of gas. People are concerned about inflation. Put them on quickly. Go ahead, CJ.
Well, you're right. We are concerned about that. I don't care.
No. Let me finish my point.
I don't care.
Wait. Let me finish my point. Yes, we are concerned about those things. But listen. But over 20 million people watch that. So there are people who are more concerned, too, about the criminal acts that took place on January 6th and the orchestrator of them. Go ahead.
Really, I don't think he's been charged, has he? But you've already convicted him. Just like Josh Hawley.
His own daughter.
And Republican.
CJ, his own daughter and his own attorney general. Did you see them on TV last whatever day it was? Did you
That's
see
not
them?
Solving 501 a gallon. Or
did you hear? We're not saying that it solves those things. We are concerned.
It's all distraction.
We are concerned that a criminal act, since you Republicans are always talking about criminals and crime, that a criminal act was acted upon the federal government.
And so you Republicans
show what kind of liars you are. Cut them off. Shows what kind of liars you are that you supposedly claim about justice and rights, and yet you want to ignore what you saw, what everybody saw. And what we know has taken place. You want to talk about deflection? It is you and others like you who are attempting to deflect. But 20 million people watch that. And you can't do away with that. And you can call it deflection or whatever else it is you want to call it. And Fox News cannot show it. But 20 million people don't give a rip about whether Fox News showed it or not. They're not puppets. They know something took place that hasn't happened in this country for a long, long time, only once before, and they want answers. And whether or not people on the right and sheeple like CJ are concerned, doesn't matter, because we already know who and what you are. The bottom line is, as I said before your call, people are concerned about other issues, but people can walk and chew gum at the same time. And people want justice in what took place on January 6th. And no, it's not going to be brushed over. And no, people aren't going to accept you guys changing the narrative and talking about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is not the issue. The fact that a president of the United States organized thugs to wind up in Washington, D.C. and try to overthrow the election. That's a fact. And that's what's on trial today, right? That's what we're going to be listening to from 9 o'clock today and until the ends of this until this is over. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this as well as many others. They're not going to prevent justice from happening. And Donald Trump, his own daughter, for heaven's sakes, you're supporting a man who throws his own daughter under the bus. Well, when she said she agrees with Attorney Barr and he's a fair man, the president's response was, well, she checked out a long time ago. Coward. Criminal. Donald Trump. And hopefully he'll wind up where most criminals should, locked away, and they should throw away the key. Got to go to a break. When we come back, the next words you'll hear is from the January 6th committee. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you in a few minutes.